Hey, welcome back to the inside of Stoney's Witchy Place. This episode is pre-recorded. It'll be posted at 4:30 Mountain Time today, Thursday, 7/28/2016. We're going to talk about a little bit of an uproar behind some reaction to a post by the wonderfully awesome Miss Dorothy Morrison. And then we're going to talk about discovering correspondences as they apply to ourselves, rather than what the book says. Stay with us. We'll get started in just a second. Right, a little power drumming and some flute, get the blood going. Let's jump right into this mess. Recently, Dorothy Morrison posted about an experience that she had whilst out shopping. And a person made a snide comment to her regarding that person's viewpoint of Dorothy, even though they had probably no idea who she was, just the fact that she was a person of a different race. This stuff is getting out of hand, I tell you. The problem, the uproar, is when Dorothy explained what happened and her perspective on it, people that follow Dorothy on social media were attacking her, putting her down, oversharing her experience. Listen, if you cannot see an event as it's explained from another person's point of view, now I'm not saying you have to accept that other person's point of view, but if you cannot at least see the other person's perspective, then you're commenting from a place of absolute ignorance. If you want to jump on the bandwagon and give Dorothy a headache over whatever commentary was, after you can understand her perspective, then you're standing firm on your own principles and opinions. And that's a little bit different. But these people aren't. They're taking what she said and just lambasting her, tearing her down, and it's ridiculous. This is how the things that are going on in this country and everywhere else keep rolling and gaining steam. It's a snowball effect. Slow the fuck down. Excuse that, but this really pisses me off. Dorothy is a very respected person in our community at large, the pagan community, the witchcraft community. Very respected. And she's a good person. If she had this experience and she saw it and did her best to explain it from her point of view, who are you to jump up and start bashing on her over it because you disagree with the event as it was described? And yet you weren't there. You have no personal perspective. That's why we have to attempt to see the other person's point of view. Just like the lady that made the snide comment to Dorothy that started all of this. She had absolutely no idea, and Dorothy explained this in her post, what Dorothy has been through in her life as a person. Now, there's a double-edged sword here. Having a bit of celebrity or notoriety and having a platform based on that, we have a responsibility to use that platform to support the work that we've done that gives us that platform to start with. At the same time, we have to be careful how far out of the boundaries of why we have that platform, why we have this following. We have to keep it within the parameters of that following, why it was built to some degree. On the other hand, we have a responsibility, once we've established a platform, to expand the use and power base of that platform by getting into issues, whether they're social issues or personal issues, and providing some insight from our perspective. Now, I've seen this going on for the last 15 or 20 years. There is an ever-widening gap between us elders, and I use the term loosely because I don't like to think of myself as an elder, but I am. There's a widening gap between our thought process and the modern thought process. Whether you are a witch of tradition who learned mouth to ear from your mother and your grandmother, etc., etc., and you can actually verify this going back generations, or you read the latest fluffy bunny fairy dust spreading handbook that came out in the mass media, this does not excuse you or make you exempt from being a human being, from being a person. This does not excuse you from your behavior as a member of society. Dorothy had this experience. It upset her, obviously. She shared this experience. You need to appreciate the fact that she simply shared this experience from her point of view and try to understand what it is that she's saying from a perspective other than your own. If we can't do that, then why the hell are we going to ever bother having any kind of conversation over any social issue, any political issue, anything that affects us as a whole, if we cannot bother to at least walk 360 degrees around the circle and see the issue from various viewpoints, why are we even bothering to have these conversations? Now, you want to jump on somebody? You jump on yourself for not accepting the validity of an experience that an individual had. From their point of view, their experience and how they saw it is valid. Now, I served many, many, many years in the military, and I defended your right to have an opinion, freedom of speech, okay? I did not defend your right to be a closed-minded, bigoted asshole. Bottom line, you don't like that, I'm sorry, you can stop following the show. I don't really care. But Miss Dorothy Morrison had a valid experience. She shared it and was attacked over it. To those people, all I can say, and I'm trying to be polite here, you are wrong. The other issue is you have people following certain personalities, like Miss Dorothy, simply because they want to connect with her or learn from her because of her position as an elder witch, a very respected member of the elder community. When she steps outside of that box, she's not becoming a different person. She is opening herself up as a person beyond that position as a very respected elder. Now, if you're following her only because of that and can't deal with the fact that she is a human being having human experiences within our society, then you have no business following her in the first place. We all have our days. You know, wake me up 4 hours before I'm ready to, don't have my coffee ready to go, kick my dog, we're going to have a problem. And it's got nothing to do with my position as an elder or a witch. You people need to grow the fuck up, get off Dorothy's back, and appreciate the fact that she has human experiences beyond her position as an elder witch. You can't handle that? You need to crawl back into your hole and stay there. We'll be right back with part two of the show. Hope you enjoyed that little break and shook off our first half of the show. I had to go take a break, have a little rest and some more coffee, get back in the mood. This part of the episode, we want to talk about correspondences. Correspondences and magical use are items that have energies relevant to a specific purpose. For instance, symbol of a heart signifies love, or can. A moving stream can signify forward motion. Smoke from a variety of sources can signify sending out prayers and thoughts and requests. Basically, a correspondence is an item that you're going to use in crafting a spell that is going to lend its energy to the intent behind that spell work. What is it that you're after? You determine that, and then you check your resources and figure out which plants, stones, gems, trees, time of year even, the position of the sun, the phase of the moon, all these things relative to what it is you want to accomplish. You put all these things together. It's basically a recipe of correspondences that are going to support your intention with the work that you're doing. So, let me pull this earplug out here because I'm hearing myself echo. As an example of correspondences, I'm going to use as an example yarrow, one of my all-time favorite plants. Have loved it since I was a small kid. Yes, we had yarrow back in those days, son. But anyway, that's going to be my example. Now, there are two ways to determine the value of a correspondence or the specific purpose and focus of a correspondence. First is through researching various sources of information, either medicinal or magical, that have historical use information or scientific information that define a specific purpose for that item, in this case, yarrow. Now, the problem with this is what was this plant used for 10,000 years ago? We don't know. There aren't any written records. What was it used for 800 years ago? There are a few records here and there, not always with the same information. Now, if you got the information from, you know, your grandmother or your mentor, and they got it from theirs, and this can be verified down through a line of tradition, mouth to ear, that this particular plant is for this particular purpose, that's great. Then now you have valuable supported information that this is the correspondence for this plant. Using yarrow as an example, I'm going to start out with the Herbal Handbook by David Hoffman. It's regards medical herbalism, and its description of yarrow, it's a diaphoretic. Diaphoretic basically is a medicinal that's used to dilate blood vessels. Now, the yarrow as a medicinal is used everything from the ground up. That's the stalk, the leaves, the flowers, the whole nine yards. That's something else you'll find in magical correspondences, is they don't always tell you, do I use the leaf? Do I use the whole flower? Do I use a flower petal? Do I use the stalk? You need to have this information, and if it's not available, use your best judgment. Now, the constituents of yarrow for medical purposes is the volatile oil, flavonoids, tannins, and a bitter alkaloid. The actions are diaphoretic, hypotensive, astringent, diuretic, antiseptic. If you don't know what those mean, don't worry about it. Basically, yarrow has been used for a lot of various medicinal purposes, including digestion. It helps the blood vessels, and because it helps dilate blood vessels, it can help with headaches and fevers. It's used as an antiseptic for infections like cystitis. You can apply it to open wounds, preferably not big ones. There's a variety of ways medicinally to use yarrow. Now, why am I going into the medical aspects of what it's good for? Because often the medical applications, especially if they can be traced back for hundreds of years, can directly apply or directly indicate the value of the energy of a plant. I've always felt, I was not taught this, but I've verified it over the years, I have always felt that the value of yarrow as a correspondence relates directly to the blood. And to me, the blood indicates vitality. Therefore, I use yarrow when I need a little vitality, some oomph, some life in my spell work. Now we go to Scott Cunningham. And Scott Cunningham has a variety of bits of information about the yarrow. But his particular reference to it, he calls it a feminine plant. These are the correspondences for yarrow. It's feminine. The planet is Venus. The element is water. The powers are courage, love, psychic powers, and exorcism. And it has a variety of magical uses. See, this is where we're going to start getting into the old rote, the old accepted versions of the correspondence value of something like yarrow versus our own understanding of a particular plant. To me, when it comes to the element, yarrow corresponds directly to fire, because fire, to me, is represented by the blood that flows through us. It's the passion. The fire in us is our blood. And to me, yarrow corresponds to blood, so that's how I use it. So it's kind of a very personal thing when you are determining correspondences based on your understanding of a plant, your particular experience with a plant. Now, we go into Judica Illith, the Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells. Now, and she has a laundry list of recipes receipts, if you will, that yarrow is used in. They go from fertility spells to happy homes to infant protection to love spells and psychic spells, summoning spells, warrior spells, wish spells, wound prevention, which is a protective spell. You can see it applies in a variety of recipes. Then we go to one of my favorites, Ted Andrews, and Nature Speak. And what Ted has to say about yarrow, from his understanding of a variety of plants and animals. I love Ted. It has a long association with divination, and there's an old story about yarrow growing on the grave of Confucius. Okay, to me, divination is more relative to the elemental aspect of wind, which is spirit, not so much fire. So I don't feel that relationship. But you can also use it in dream work, which I suppose you could use as a type of divination because it's stimulatory in a magical sense. And therefore, it's going to help you have vivid dreams and retain what you dreamed. And then you can use that as part of a divination. I can see it working that way. Now, the reason why I think that people need to get their own personal understanding of value of plants is because, and rocks and everything else out there, is because you don't always have on hand what you need to do a spell right now at the moment when you need to do this spell. If you've got a week or a month to prepare because you're going to do it on a particular day, like Lunasa or Lammas that's coming up, then you can go ahead and order in the items that you can't find locally. But if you understand, if you have a relationship and understanding with these natural items, before you get to a need, then you're aware that in this moment, I need to do this type of a work, this type of an offering, this type of a prayer. Oh, look, there's yarrow, and what I'm asking for is going to be blood-related and require fire. It's going to require passion, and that's what yarrow means to me, so I'll use that. Now, here's another issue you're going to run into when you're doing research to determine other people's ideas of what correspondences are. Llewellyn's Complete Book of Correspondences by Sandra Kynes. I keep this on my desk along with Judica's books and Scott's books as a quick reference. Yarrow's not even in there. It's not even listed as a correspondence. Just another reason for you to develop a relationship with the items that are out there and getting your own gut instinct, your own feeling, your own understanding from communication with this natural item, be it a plant like yarrow or a stone or stream water versus rainwater. You have your own personal relationship. You're more invested in the value as a correspondence of that item because you have this personal relationship and understanding. So, long story short, correspondences are items that lend directly to the intention of the work that you're going to do. Whether that is heavily researched and validated over hundreds of years, or your own personal understanding of the value of an item, energetically speaking, that's up to you. If you want to learn more about how to use correspondences, I highly recommend that you start out with a book by Jarena Dunwich called Exploring Spellcraft, or as I like to call it, Spellcrafting. She'll walk you right through it, no BS. It's a great book. If you can still find it out there, I'm sure you can find it on Amazon or eBay, but I think it ought to be on everybody's shelf. But what it all boils down to is the magic that you do is coming from you, for you, even if you're doing it on behalf of another person. Use your personal intuition and instinct and relationship with natural items to determine the value of those items. Hope you got something out of this. Hope to see you again on our next show. If everything goes right, we'll be live on the new moon, which I believe is the 2nd of next month. And we'll talk about a variety of things then. Thanks for tuning in. And for the local folks up here in Western Montana, if you're in Stevensville area this weekend, stop by Saturday in Stevensville. The Mystic Owl, which will be open right behind the booths of the farmer's market there, is having a book signing. And you can go to the Mystic Owl page on Facebook and get more information about that. If you're not going to be in Stevensville, but you are a local, stop by Between the Worlds down in Hamilton or Water Lilies on Reserve up in Missoula and say hi. Thanks for tuning in again. Hope you enjoyed it. Give me some feedback either on the Facebook page or just comment down below. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.